Just me sneaking into some place here, the police to arrest.
No, this isn't a sneaking in trip. This is a just a courthouse trip. But that would be good. You'd be arrested at the courthouse. Romans 14. We made it through verse 10 yesterday, I think. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the next verse is to me one of the most fascinating verses. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. As you know, my position is that has always been true. Every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing. Because nothing that takes place in the universe can be anything other than what that intent is. And so the metaphor, you're bowing your knee and you're confessing, even though you're doing all kinds of other weird stuff. And this is a quote from Isaiah 44, 45. But anyway, let's go there. Let's read and see the quote, because it's in...
That's like saying God is God, whether you know it or not.
Where are we going?
Isaiah 44 or 45, and I don't know yet.
Mommy, that's big Isaiah.
Oh, okay.
First Isaiah.
The gypsy kings are here.
Every day.
What does that mean?
That's not choose. It's a popular group.
It's a Cuban musical group. Very good.
As opposed to the non-human music.
No, she said Cuban.
She said Cuban. That's probably the reason you say all these weird things is because you're hard of hearing.
That's why I quit wearing the little thing in his ear a while back.
It's Isaiah 45. Let's read the whole chapter because we got it. That's what I feel like doing. Do you all remember who Cyrus is?
Billy Ray.
Billy Ray Cyrus, yeah,
right. Cyrus Vance. He's a human performer. Secretary of State.
His daughter is
Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana.
Got more questions?
Easy. Skinky Hannah Montana.
What did you say, Ronnie?
Judging, we have to go back to Matt.
What did you say, Ronnie?
I said Hannah Montana.
Then what?
Well, sleazy, skanky.
Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, Cyrus was a Persian king. Wasn't a believer, but who did all kinds of beneficial things for Israel. And so, but he says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. So he's saying Cyrus was anointed. Whose right hand have I holden to subdue nations before him? I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. This is still to Cyrus. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. Now this is pretty weird. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now he, sometime you ought, you really ought to study Cyrus and just see all the stuff he did because it was pretty neat.
What are treasures of darkness?
I don't know. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So he's telling Cyrus that he has named him and set him up and done all this stuff, even though he hasn't known him. And that's pretty weird, according to our modern theology. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. This chapter is the chapter of seeing or causing us to stop making God our provincial or our little local ideas about God. He's in control of every molecule. Nothing happens that isn't in His perfect will. So this is a biggie.
To me, this is the strongest explication of why you don't judge things in time and space. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Amen. Drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Now that's what happened on Pentecost. Salvation came down, and the earth, those who were knowledgeable, those who had come to the end of themselves, the earth opened up. And so salvation was revealed in the earth, and came down from heaven and met us. Boom. Doesn't look like it. All things will continue as they were from the beginning. There will never be any visual evidence. And all of the things that people do to create the feeling of God, like churches and buildings and stained glass and music and all that, that all is not God because it's appealing to the soulish nature of man. So you can go in there and get a feeling. This guy, what's his name? Preston Jones, who was a famous playwright that I had all those arguments with. He was an atheist. He's the one that invented Frank Christ, Jesus' older brother, who was really mad because Jesus got all the goodies. And he made a big, every time I talked to him, he'd create this whole new, then he'd start quoting a ketchup bottle if anybody quoted him the Bible. He was brilliant. Anyway. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that formed it, or fashioneth it, why makest thou? What makest thou? Or the work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith to his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things concerning to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. The only time we're ever allowed to command God is about the work of his son. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. So what Cyrus did is a parable of what Jesus is doing.
Yeah, he starts off talking about Cyrus and sees a bigger picture of what that was a picture of.
Right.
Why is sons in plural, I think?
Because it's... That's what he's doing. He's bringing forth many sons unto glory. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains shall they come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no other God, is what he's saying. Verily, thou art God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. Again, this is always true. His people are those that have escaped from the nations, from the world. We have come out of her. We've come out of first the world, and then we've come out of Babylon. We've come out of survival of the fittest, and we've come out of cause and effect. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell me, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else. I have sworn, now this is the quote now that we've read all this for. I have sworn by myself, that's a reference to the contract, the covenant. You understand what? No man makes a covenant alone, but God did. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, or every tongue shall confess. It doesn't look like it. We'll never see it. But every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing that he's Lord. But we want to see it. And then the next two verses prove that. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. If every knee is bowing, then how can anybody, if you do the traditional understanding, how can anybody be against him? If every tongue is confessing, how can they be incensed?
Well, somewhere, the tense of it is in the present tense, right? In the New Testament, another place. I can't remember.
No, I know. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. And I want to do this this morning because I wanted to give us, to cause us to stretch out and not be so provincial in how we think about God and God's stuff.
this is a pretty powerful chapter about just saying to the ends of the earth, look unto me and be saved. You know, the Jews didn't hardly even believe that. You know, they were basically, you know, if you brush up against a Gentile, you're going to be unclean.
Amen.
So I forgot that part.
I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything else?
If he indeed created the heavens and all there is and the earth, then how can we pull him down into this room and limit him to some comfortable perception that we can create of him?
Well, and again, there can be nothing against it except our minds. And that is done so that we will become, by through suffering, we will learn obedience. Because our minds have to come to the end of themselves. Otherwise, you'd just be a robot. You have to want what he wants without him telling you to. And the only way that can happen is by suffering. But we want, every time, no matter who we are, we trivialize the suffering. We want some instant cure or an instant solution to something. And that's not what life is about. Okay? What's going on, Mr. Bojo? Nothing? All right, take it, big guy. Now I really got rollover minutes.
This is about all.